Good evening. Tonight is the first of a new topic, but the third in a series that we started a while ago. So we talked about the Malach of Kosev on Shabbos a few weeks ago. We took a little hiatus, and we left out some very important halacha lemaisa aspects. We left out all the halachas of cutting cakes and words on cakes and cookies, you know, those Mazel Tov cookies, you know, biting into those. We didn't talk about puzzles and tearing letters when you open packages. So that's the topic we're going to talk about tonight. I don't think we're going to finish it tonight, but it will be very different than the aspect of writing that we spoke about last time, which was closed circuit TVs, baby monitors, and other video apparatus, which also is considered in the realm of Kosev. Tonight we're not going to talk about anything electric, but rather things that relate to connecting letters. The story starts, there are no Gemaras that talk specifically about food, letters on food, but it is a relatively early source. There's a Maharam. I think it might be the Maharam Rotenberg, but I'm not sure. Cited by one of the Rishonim, and he is asked the following question. The question is like this. Children eat cookies. And apparently, 1,000 years ago, or 800 years ago, the cookies had letters on them. Those of you who are moras in preschool know that sometimes kids bring in cookies with letters on them. And the Elite biscuits, they all say, like, Elite carved into them. And you go to a Vortison, they say, Mazel Tov, you know, whoever, in pretty blue ink. And that's exactly the shot that he says. How could the children eat these cookies? After all, they're not writing. What are they doing? The opposite of writing. They're doing mochek. Whenever you have kosev, you have its inverse, which is mochek, erasing. Whenever you have erasing, you have... The two always go together. So whatever will be considered writing will be considered in the opposite form, erasing. So we're going to talk about these two things together. We're going to talk about putting puzzles together and taking puzzles apart. We're going to talk about putting letters on food. We're going to talk about taking letters off food or breaking letters apart. So that was the question. How could it be that these children eat cookies that have writing on them? This is a question that was asked in the Mordechai 800-900 years ago. And listen to the answer that he gives, because the answer that he gives is a very telling answer in terms of halacha l'maaseh for us. So you know what he says? He says, there's a technical detail that in order to violate mochek midaraisa, does anyone remember where mochek happened in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan? Where did they erase something? Close. Where was the erasing in the Mishkan such that it became Mochek, became one of the 39 Melachas? Close. So when they put the Mishkan together, they had to label each of the 39 planks. Not the 39 planks, I'm sorry. We had 40 planks on one side, 40 planks on the other side, 20 in the back, 120 some odd planks. Each one had to be numbered, because the Torah says that you have to build the Mishkan Kamish Pato. What's Kamish Pato? What's the right way to build it? You build the Mishkan. What's the extra word? Build in the right way. So the Yerushalmi told us that we had in that first shiur a few weeks ago, Kamish Pato tells us you have to do it in the same way you built it the first time, so to the second time. It always has to be built in the same way, meaning whatever plank was in this place over here, it has to be in that position always. Whatever plank is in that position then, it always has to be in that position. Accordingly, what was the most? So therefore, they had to write on, they had to number or write letters in all the planks, so we know their proper position. Well, what then will be mochek? Mochek is if they made a mistake on one of the planks, they had to erase that letter or that number to correct it. That historical fact is going to be the source of a very important halacha when it comes to mochek. When is the only time that a person violates mochek erasing on Shabbos? If they erase for the purpose of rewriting afterwards. If you just erase because you don't like what you just did, and you're not going to redo it, then you did not violate mochek. So if you have you write a whole bunch of lines on Friday, and you take your eraser and just erase all Shabbos, and you don't plan on rewriting that paper or that whatever it is, that does not violate mochek midoraisa. Well, says the Mordechai, that's exactly what happens. When you have a kid who eats a cookie that has some writing on it, does he plan to eat the cookie, get rid of those words and then rewrite the words? No. So it's not an Issa Daraisa. The mochik here of the consuming this cookie with writing on it is not mochik Daraisa. Definitely not. So at worst, it's mochik Darabanan. Oh, and since he's a kid and he took it by himself, we didn't make him do an Issa Darabanan. You're not allowed to make somebody do an Issa Darabanan. You can't hand an Issa Darabanan to a child. Could you take something that's not kosher Darabanan and hand it to a child? Actively? Absolutely not. Even though it's only Darabanan. But here, if the child takes it by himself and it's only Darabanan, you don't have to say anything. Let's just think about what just happened. Clearly, he's assuming that are you allowed to eat a cookie that has writing on it? It happens to be that for a child who took it by himself, it's also Darabanan, but if a child took it by himself, you don't have to stop him, you don't have to jump on him and scream, oh my gosh, stop, get off the... Did you ever notice that sometimes it works in two ways? You know, like, we have a two-year-old. And two-year-olds don't always understand the idea of don'ts. So, like, she could turn... When it's convenient for us, we put her right next to the light switch to get the lights the way we need, to turn off the lights if we left the light on Shabbos. But if, God forbid, she would touch the light switch in the dining room while we're trying to eat, and she wants to try to turn it off, all of a sudden, no, it's Shabbos! Stop, stop, stop. So it's somewhat selective. I don't know how fair that is. But nevertheless, that's clearly what the... And this halacha that I just told you is actually a line in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Shin Mem, there is no simen in all of Shulchan Aruch that talks about kosev and mochek. There's very little. I think we've mentioned this point in one of the early, one of those first two shiurim. When it comes to writing on Shabbos, everything's aser. Whenever you have anything that's similar, somewhat writing, it's always aser. The question is only, is it aser darabanan or daraisa? But all writing and all configurations of writing, all situations of writing and rust, writing in the frosting on the window, writing in the dust on your car, writing with ketchup, all those things, maybe only darabanan, but they're all going to be aser. So that's probably why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really talk about writing. But there are two little se'ifim in the middle of Shin Mem. And in Shin Mem, it's the Rama brings this halach that I just told you. It's prohibited to break a cookie that has osios on it. Even though you're not intending to do anything other than eat it, you're not intending to, I want to break that aleph, I want to break that, you know, that Q. You just want to eat a cookie. It's still going to be usser. Because that's mochik. So, if we stop here, so all of you are familiar with those alphabet cookies? Or better yet, alphabets? Right? Alphabets, you remember, do they still have alphabets? They exist? Haven't had them in a decade or two? Okay. Right, alphabet noodles also, that's true, that's true. So if we stop here, it sounds like it should be usser. That is true. So if we think back to the Mishkan, the question is, those aren't words, those are just letters. So if we think back to the Mishkan, what was the mochik that was happening in the Mishkan? An erasure of a one letter. So mochik is a problem for one letter. Maybe you have to do two times, for two letters, that could be, but it's still asu d'rabanan. If it's asu d'rabanan to write one letter, asu d'arais, actually. It's asu d'arais to write two letters. Did I mention last time what happens if you write one letter? I think I did. Does anyone remember what happens if you write one letter? This is a great question for my... This is a question I think I gave my students when we learned Kosei, because usually things are either mutter, asu d'rabanan, or you violate the Torah, the prohibition from the Torah. Then what happens when you violate the prohibition from the Torah? Well, there's skila, you have to bring a korban in some cases, you have to get malchus in some cases. But those are usually the only possible answers. There's no such thing as something being asu d'oraisa without a punishment. If it's asu d'oraisa, there's a punishment. Well, here there's one exception. When you do, I think we spoke about this, when you do a chatzi shir, the Torah says on Yom Kippur, don't eat the size of a fig or a date, because that's enough to satisfy you as a snack. What happens if you have a small bite, a tiny little bite of something on Yom Kippur? Torah says don't have a cheek full of juice or milk or water or wine or grape juice or anything else on Yom Kippur. What happens if you have a tiny little sip? So it's called a chatzi shir. You ate or drank half of what the Torah's quantity. So there we paskin that it's still aser mida oraisa, but you're just not chayav of all the punishments that are associated with violating that iser. So it's more than an iser d'rabbanan, but less than a full chiyuv, which would bring with it, you know, the punishments and the kares and the karban. So that's exactly what we have here. If you write one letter, it's only going to be aser d'oraisa because of chatzi shir, but it's not a full chiyuv d'oraisa. Similarly, if you erase one letter, it would probably also be only an iser d'oraisa of chatzi shir, which does not bring with it any of the punishments of the Torah. So that's all in terms of erasing. But the Mishnah Brura on this Shulchan Aruch points out that that's only what we were talking about in the case of this Mordechai that I told you from the Maharami Rottenberg, that a child was eating a cookie with what was on the cookie? Writing was on the cookie, as opposed to writing was the cookie. So therefore, the Mishnah Brura says that alphabets, he's not talking about alphabets, I don't know if they had alphabets in Rodin in the 1920s, but if they did, then he would have said that alphabets are okay, because that's just eating whatever, you're eating an alphabet. You're eating anyone made a schlissel challah after, are you rich yet? So let's say you'd make an aleph challah or a beis challah. So you're not allowed to cut the challah? No, the Mishnah Berurah says that if the figure of the aleph or the figure of the L or Q is the food, then certainly you're allowed to cut up the food. Now this is very important, and I'll tell you why. Until now, when we've been speaking about writing, all we've talked about is writing letters. A few letters make up a word, but writing is letters, mochik is letters. The Rambam writes that writing is not just when you form letters. Writing is also whenever you draw a picture, a diagram, a form, a figure. If it's some kind of picture, well, erasing that is mochik, and drawing a picture, if you doodle on Shabbos and you make some kind of picture of a person or a sunshine or a little house with a little doggy and a little race car, whatever else you draw pictures of, that would be maybe not the avmalach of writing, but drawing pictures is a tolda of kosev. So let me ask you, what would you have told me a few minutes ago before I just told you this halacha where the food itself is the picture that you're allowed to, is the letter you're allowed to cut. What would I tell you if you had a bundt pan and you make a cake in the shape of what shape is your bundt pan? A heart, a star, we have a Magen David bundt pan. Anyone have Hanukkah cookie cutters? Shapes of menorah, of dreidels, of Magen Davids. Well, if you're not allowed to draw a figure on Shabbos, it's asur d'oraisa to draw a picture on Shabbos, it's equally asur d'oraisa to erase a picture on Shabbos. That should mean, if you didn't know what I told you a minute ago, that would mean that you can't slice a piece of cake that comes from a bundt pan, or that's a cookie in a certain shape, because you're erasing, right? You used to have a menorah, now you have a... What do you have if you take a bite of the menorah? Half a menorah. So you're erasing the shape of the menorah. But no, but now that we said just now, this big cool of the Mishnah Berurah, that if the food itself is, it's not a food that has writing on top of it, it is the writing, then it's mutter. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, we are allowed to eat alphabets, we are allowed to eat the alphabet noodles, we are allowed to eat cookies in certain shapes. If, however, we have to still think about those alphabet cookies that I think Lieber's and Pashka sells, I just know because I bought it for Shabbos party 2 weeks ago, those are not, it's a square cookie, and sort of emblazoned on the front of that square cookie is the letter. So that we have to figure out what to do about that. Right now we didn't explain why that should be okay. The cookie's a square. It's a flat cookie with a square. And emblazoned onto that cookie, the dough is the form of the, is the shape of an aleph, or the shape of an A. As opposed to where the cookie is is a shape like an A itself. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what happens when you cut a word into pieces? We're going to get there. It's going to take us a little while to get there. Okay, another question, somebody? Okay. apparently, this is a minhag that I've never seen, but at some point in history there was a minhag, or there was a wannabe minhag. You'll see why it was wannabe and didn't actually make it to the finish line. There was a wannabe minhag that people would, when they would bake matzahs, they would bake into the matzah Aleph, Beis, Gimel to tell the person which one is the, you know, we have three matzahs, Yisrael, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, and they would like bake into the matzah. A matzah had some kind of form of it, or like an Aleph on it, or a Beis, or a Gimel, or a 1, or a 2, and a 3. So the poskim discuss those matzahs, and the poskim say that those matzahs are going to be a problem because of what we just said. It's like a cookie that has a letter on, that has a letter on it or some writing on it, and you can't. This is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. You can't break a cookie, and we know that the matzahs we have to break on Pesach lechem oni. One of the pshatim in oni is that it's broken in half because that's the way a poor person eats and. With pieces, not with whole loaves. So you're not allowed to go ahead and break the cookie. So halach l'maisa, clearly, if you go to one of those, if you have leftovers from one of those bris or vort cookies that have the names spelled on the cookie, you will not be able to break that cookie on Shabbos. That seems to be clear halacha without any dissenting opinion. In terms of eating it, that we're not talking about yet. We'll talk about eating another time. But in terms of breaking it in half, breaking the cookie, that's clearly usur, because you're breaking the writing. You're breaking the letters in half. That we'll talk about. Yeah. But between two words, I don't think it'll be a problem. But we'll talk about it. Now, clearly, when you break this cookie in half, and when that little kid we were talking about, who is in the 800 years ago, who was eating his cookie, do you think his intention was to erase the writing? It's not like a Purim cookie that you write Amalek on it and then you eat it up. There's a Rav Goldrich. Rav Goldrich has a nice, Rav Goldrich here in our yeshiva has hundreds of people coming to his house on Purim. So on the door, on the right as you walk into his door, he has a mat that says Amalek. So as you walk in, you sort of, you know, instead of wiping the mud off your feet when you come into a house and your feet are dirty, so you just bang on the mat to fulfill Mechias Amalek. So that's not the kavana of this kid when he's eating this cookie. It's not an Amalek cookie and he wants to bite apart the word. It's whatever word was there, the kid happens to be eating the cookie, yet it's still usur. Even though that wasn't your intention was not to erase the letters or the words, nevertheless, it was still usur to break apart that cookie. So that was just sort of a teaser to get us into the real meat of the sugya. The real discussion when we talk about all of these questions about cutting cakes with letters on it and puzzles that spell words or letters really start with the following discussion. Has anyone here been to the library here at Yeshiva University? Okay, the Mendel Gottesman Library has the following halachic shaila. Every single book that they own, the Jewish Studies Library, probably the secular person, but certainly the Jewish Studies Library, on the, not the binding, but the edges of the pages, they stamp the words, Mendel Gottesman Library. So what happens, so if I could just borrow this, just to make sure, to make clear, over here, they'll stamp Mendel Gottesman Library, such that whenever you open the book, you no longer have any letters. When you close the book, you just created words that spell Mendel Gottesman Library. So the Rama, interestingly, the Rama not in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama was not just a Shulchan Aruch writer man, he was also a Rav in Krakow. The Moshe Ishulish lived in Krakow in the early 1500s, and he was probably the Gadol Hador in the Ashkenazi community. And he got Shailos HaTshuvos. And he has a sefer, Shailos HaTshuvos HaRama, which no one knows as well as, of course, what he inserted into the Shulchan Aruch. But in the Shailos HaTshuvos HaRama, he was asked the following. He was asked, am I allowed to open up this book on Shabbos? I took out a Gemara to learn. What could be better than that? I'm going away for Shabbos. I wanted to borrow some like really heavy-duty sefer, and I'm going to learn it on Shabbos. Can I open it up? And if you tell me it's also to open, do I even get schar for learning? Right? I talked to my son the other day. I asked him, it's the Robin Hood question. If you steal money from somebody who's poor and give it to tzedakah, did you fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah? Why not? I mean, you stole money. You're bad, you stole, but you're good because you gave tzedakah. That's what Robin Hood said, right? What? Usser. Where's that Robin Hood in you? What? No, didn't everybody like Robin Hood? Everyone, you know, you want the evil, rich, feudal lords to be taking all the money? Steal from them and give to the poor people. Now it is. Mitzvah haba b'aveira. That's the correct answer. Mitzvah haba b'aveira. Mitzvah haba b'aveira is a situation that if you do a mitzvah, and the only way for you to do the mitzvah is by violating an iser, not only did you violate the iser, but the mitzvah itself doesn't count. It's mitzvah haba b'aveira, and therefore you're not even yotzei the mitzvah. When you give tzedakah, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. So therefore, let's say I took out this fabulously deep, incredibly hard sefer, and I'm going to be omel and yageya, and I'm going to work hard on my learning over Shabbos. Stay up all night learning, Friday night. Do I even get schar for learning? If in order to do that learning, I had to violate an iser of mocheik to open up the sefer. And when I close the sefer, right, it's covered as sefer for me to close it. You can't, to leave an open sefer on a table, it's not covered for svarim. So I'm going to close it to fulfill the mitzvah of Kavod HaSefer. Well, what happens when I close the Sefer? I'm writing the words Medel Gadusman Library when I write that Sefer, when I close that Sefer. So that was a question that the Ramon was asked in the Shabbos Ruchuos. So, you see where this is going. What's really his question? His question really is, if you have letters that are already written, but they're disattached, can you attach them one to another? And the inverse. You have letters that are not attached, but they're already written. Can you attach them to another? Did I just repeat myself, or did I just say two sides of the coin? You understand what my question is. If you have something already written, could you separate them? If you have something that's two halves that are already written, but they're not connected, could you connect them to create letters? So that's the question that Rama was asked in his Shas Chuvos. And he says, what do you think he says? Mutter or Asr? Okay, so it's basically half and half. The Ramah says it is mutter. And he says, I'm going to bring you proofs that it's mutter. And I'm going to share with you three proofs from three different places, all on the same daf in Maseches Shabbos. And we'll see why it's mutter to open and close those library books that have the names of the library stamped on the sides, on the edge of the pages. First of all, there's a Mishnah that says, this is in Shabbos daf Kuf Dalet, 104 in Shabbos, there are just two pages in Maseches Shabbos that talk about Kosev. The Mishnah is called HaKosev, because it starts with that word. The Mishnah says, if you write two letters on two separate pages, the Mishnah says as follows. If the pages, can I borrow your notebook for a second? Thank you. So I have a notebook in front of me, and I write a letter on the left side and a letter on the right side, two opposite pages. The Mishnah says, since those two letters that I wrote could be read, one with another, I read the A and the B, then I'm Chayav. If, however, I write the letter A on the left side, I turn a page or two, and I write a letter on some other page such that you can't read the AB simultaneously, the AB is not appear directly in front of you, you're not Chayav for writing, because you're only Chayav for writing. For Kosev, if you write two letters, one next to the other. That's the Mishnah of HaKosev. Now, let's use some beautiful logic that the Rama used. What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says you can't write a letter over here and write a letter over there. It sounds like if you didn't write the letter, it would be okay. Meaning if you just had the letter here and had the letter over there and you moved them together, that's okay. The only thing that the Mishnah says you can't do is to actually write the letters. So you know what the Rama understands? The Rama understands that the only problem is writing a letter that was not yet written. But if a letter's already written, you just move it around, you just shift it from place to place, that the Mishnah never told you is a problem. The only problem is when you actually write the letter. That's the first proof that the Rama says. Let me give you another proof that he gives. The Gemara on that same page, Kuf Dalet in Shabbos, tells the story of the following. In the time of, when was this? The time of the Mishnah, yeah. The second half of the, after Yerushalayim was no longer capital, Romans weren't roaming around Yerushalayim. So the Jewish, you know, Torah leadership moved north to Tveria, to Tzfat, to Tzipori. That's why in the north, in the Galil, there are a lot of the, not just Kvarim of the Rishonim, like the Rambam, there's Rabbi Akiva's Kever, and there's Yonasan ben Uziel, Amuka, all those Kvarim are in the Galil. Because that was the Torah center after the Romans sort of pushed Bnei Yisrael out of Yerushalayim and the surroundings. So the Gemara talks about the following. You take a piece of paper out in the city of Tveria. The word Tveria appears in the Gemara. Yes, they had Tveria then. And in Tveria, you take out a piece of paper on Shabbos afternoon, and you write the letter Aleph. You put on your walking boots, your sneakers, even though it's Shabbos, because you want to walk all the way to Tzipori. How far is Tzipori from? Isn't Tzipori like a national park? Like, didn't they uncover, like, archaeology, like, big shuls in Tzipori? I think so, right? There's some archaeology, probably from the time of the Mishnah, in Tzipori. Okay, so the Gemara says you walk from Tveria to Tzipori. In Tzipori, you go to your friend's house. And you say, may I please have take a piece of paper? And you take a second piece of paper, and you write a bays on Shabbos afternoon, an hour later, I guess, it took you an hour to walk from Tveria to Tzipori. Question is, my friends, did you violate writing on Shabbos, or did you not violate writing on Shabbos? What do you say? You wrote two letters. You did, right? But they're certainly very far away from each other. What do you say? The Gemara says, you are chayav. What do you mean? They're not read together? Well, you don't have to rip anything out. It's not like a notebook where you have to, if you want to read one page with something 4 pages later, you have to rip something out. You have to tear it out. Here, there's a page written. If they were close together, it would be chayav. So they're not close together, equally chayav. It's not a distance that's going to make a difference. And therefore, you are chayav when you wrote the Aleph in Tveria and the Beis in Tzipori. That's the Gemara. Says the Ramah very simply. Says the Ramah, a fabulously simple equation. What is Asur to do? It's Asur to write the Aleph and the Beis. But if you had an Aleph and a Beis that was written and you would just move them together, is there anything wrong with that? No. When is the Torah saying, when is the Gemara saying that there's something wrong? When you write a letter. And you write another letter. But if you have a letter that's already written, and then you just bring it together, bring them close one to another, that is perfectly mutter. And that is why the Ramah says, it is mutter to take your book that's open and close it. Because what are you doing? You're taking things that are already written, putting them together to make one big happy word or words. And the inverse, of course, would be the same. To take a written letter and another written letter and to separate them is going to be totally fine. Therefore, if you have the Mendel Gottesman Library book closed, you want to open it on Shabbos, they're already written. You're going to open it and all you're doing is disconnecting two parts of written word. That's not erasing. If kosev is only when you write something, that's to connect two parts, well, erasing is the inverse. Erasing is only when you actually take an eraser and erase. Disconnecting two parts of a letter is not erasing. And therefore, let's just think for a second. If we apply this, if we jump maybe to next week's year to cakes, what's going to be the problem? If you take the letter from the cake and you lick off the icing, that's erasing. But if you just cut it in half, through the letter in half, you cut the letter in half. Did you erase anything? You just disconnected. There's an upper part of the A and there's a bottom part of the A. They're still here. That's not erasing. I could take an upper part of an A and a bottom part of an A and put them together. So too, I could take them and separate them. There would be no problem. And this is actually how the Ramah paskins in his Shas HaTshuvos. The Ramah actually says there is nothing wrong with cutting letters on Shabbos. There is nothing wrong with connecting letters on Shabbos. As long as those letters are written, you're not writing them, there's nothing wrong. The Torah only prohibited writing letters. And the Torah only prohibited erasing letters. If they're already written and you're connecting them or disconnecting them one part from another part without any erasure or any new ink added to whatever tablet that you're writing on, that is mutter, probably lechatchila, according to the Ramah. Some people had a question here.
Right, you have to take her in the very, very out, then leave that number there.
Correct. Yeah, even if you wrote a piece of an aleph on a piece of paper in Tveria, then you left that, put that paper down, and then you go for a hike and write a bays on a piece of paper in Sipori, you're chayev for writing two letters on Shabbos. Yes, even though, this is what the Gemara asks, even though if you write two letters in a notebook, you're only chayev if they are read one with another, that's because if they're written on different pages, you have to like rip something out. You have to tear something, you have to break something. Here, the Gemara has a funny piece of logic that says if there's a letter written here and 300 miles away a letter written there, you're not really missing. You don't have to do any acts of destruction to rip or disconnect. You just have to, you're right, they're far away, but it's just distance. You could just, so if you wanted, you could just bring them together. You don't have to do an act of ripping something out. You're right, that's a little bit of a hard point that the Gemara makes. Correct. According to the Ramah, a cookie that has a word in it, you should be able to what? To cut it in half and leave the A, top part of the A over there, and the bottom part of the A over there. What happens when you eat a cookie, though? Exactly. That's a good point. I guess it has to be somewhat recognizable. You're making a good point. Yeah. The Ramah is only permitting leaving the letters as they are, just separated. Just disconnected, but you're not eating you're not consuming it. Go ahead, you get it. If you cut a cake with icing on it. Oh, that's a great question. Very good. You're saying, according to the Ramah, that it's mutter entirely to cut that cake with the icing on it, and to cut the icing in half. Mutter lechatchila. So great, you cut the cake, but now you have to just put it on display until Motzei Shabbos and then have a nice meal of malka. Same, now it's not a letter, you could probably eat it. That's probably correct. Right. Once you cut it, you made it, right? It's no longer a letter. You didn't do mochek because that's not mochek. It's only a shape. And the shapes, you're allowed to eat. Yep. That's what, again, we just learned the Ramah today. We're not finished, but we did the Ramah. Any other questions? Yeah. We will get to Scrabble and puzzles soon, hopefully, or not. Okay. The Ramah has a third proof, a proof that we learned together about 15 minutes ago. When we talked about where the source for Kosev and Mochek is in the Mishnah, what did we say? What did we say? What did Yerushalmi tell us? What's the source for writing and for erasing in the Mishkan? What do I do with the Krashim? What? Where's Kosev and where's Mochek with the Krashim of the Mishkan? No. What is the Kosev and what is the Mochek with the Krashim? What? Labeling, can I just use the word writing? Writing on the plank is Kosev, and what's Mochek? Erasing what's on the plank to fix whatever I want. Says the Ramah something very simple. Why do you have to talk about the writing on the plank and the erasing? Maybe I made a funny 11 when I wrote the right number, plank number 11. I made it a funny 11, so I'm going to erase it so I can write the right, make it more neat. Why do you have to talk about that? Every single time you have two planks together and you separate those planks, what did you just do? You broke apart two things that are together. We don't say that that's writing. When we want to find writing or erasing, where do we have to go? We have to go to somebody who's actually writing with a pen or erasing with an eraser. Says the Rashut HaRamah, why do you have to go there? Every time you assemble the planks together or disassemble the planks apart, separating and bring them together, that's not a problem. And if we wanted to find Kosev and Mochek, we had to find cases where you're actually writing or actually erasing with an eraser. And that's the third proof that the Ramah brings, that it is permitted, if you have something that is written, to separate them apart one from another, and if you have things that are separated, you're permitted to bring them close to another, and that's why Halach L'Maisa, the Ramah says, you are permitted to open and close the books of the Mendel Gottesman Library with the library's name emblazoned on the page edges. Great? That's the opinion of the Ramah. Thank you. I was hoping that's what those hands were. They weren't, but that's the question I was waiting for. Every proof that I just gave assumes what? Assumes that you're allowed to separate one letter from another letter. Or two letter, or you're allowed to connect one letter with another letter. And you're saying, wait a second, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, with the Mendel Gottesman Library, that you are creating the letter. You're taking the upper half of the M from Mendel, and the bottom half of the M to make an M, an M. And that's the upper half of the E to the bottom half of the E. If you have half an E, that's not an E. That's an F, I guess. Or a C. Right? You don't have a picture in your mind, you'll figure it out. So you're asking a very good point. The Ramah asks your question. The Ramah says, wait a second. Presumably, all the proofs in these Gemaras are talking about you're taking a letter in Sipori and a letter over there and bringing them together. That's mutter, but maybe if you're actually making half the letter and another half of the letter to create one letter, that will be more problematic. I don't want to go into his answer, but he assumes it's all one big chicken soup. But those who argue on him will say what? The Avnei Nezer asks your question. The Avnei Nezer, also, that's the Avnei Nezer, I think, was the Sachet Shavu Rebbe. He was the author of the Eglei Tal. He lived not so long ago, 100 years ago. 100 some odd years ago, the Avnei Nezer, Sachet Shavu Rebbe. And he argued and said, wait a second, Mr. Ramah, you're all talking about connecting one letter to another letter, but that's only because you have letters formed. So it's true, you could separate between this letter and that letter. You could bring together this letter with this letter. But when you have the pages, on the side of the pages of a Sefer, you're not bringing together or separating two independent letters, you are forming a letter. Or dismantling a letter. And that, the Avnei Nezer said, should be a problem, like your argument. Meaning we just found the point of Machlokas that is going to be the point that we're going to have to deal with when we talk about all of these questions. According to what I was saying originally, cut a cake however you want. Because you're just disconnecting parts. Right? That's what we said? Comes this other, this is now an opposing opinion against the Ramah, it's the Avnei Nezer, and other Achronim, and they say, the only thing that you see that you're allowed to do is separate letters, one letter from a different letter, or connect one letter to another letter. But you're not allowed to take apart a letter, or put together a letter, and therefore this other opinion that I'm saying, this new opinion, this Avnei Nezer opinion will say, you're not allowed to close the book from the library. Because what are you doing? You're making letters that you didn't have before. And when you open the Sefer to learn all night, Friday night, what's going to happen when you open that Sefer? You're disconnecting one letter from itself. The upper part of the letter from the lower part of the letter. So even though the Ramah said that was mutter, this new opinion of the Avnei Nezer says, I'm sorry. And if we think about cakes, same thing is going to happen. The Ramah says, cut a cake, you're just disconnecting the letter, but you're not erasing anything. There's no erasing, there's no eraser, you're not licking the icing off. Comes the Avnei Nezer and says, I'm sorry, you had a whole letter, now you have parts of a letter. That's a problem. And therefore, my friends, we have a gigantic machlokas. What in fact the halacha is going to be, whether I'm allowed to use this sefer from the library that has writing on the sides of it. The Ramah said it's mutter, and that's what we were speaking about for the past 15 minutes. And just now, 2 minutes ago, we introduced the opposing opinion that it's going to be usser, since you are taking what used to be a letter and making it not look like a letter anymore. The Ramah says the only problem is actual erasing or actual writing. But disconnecting is okay. This second opinion of the Avnei Nezer says it's not only usser to erase and to write, it's also usser to disconnect and to connect letters one to another. And therefore, we're going to have a machlokas that's going to apply to... Let's think of all the cases. The letters on the sides of a sefer. According to the Ramah, you don't have a pen in your hand and you don't have an eraser in your hand. There's nothing you could do wrong. According to the Avnei Nezer, you're making letters and taking apart letters. It's going to be usur. Next scenario, you have a puzzle. According to the Ramah, whether the puzzle piece, you're making a puzzle, and the puzzle spells, let's see, puzzle of the United States of America. And on top of the puzzle, it says in big, fat, bubbly words, bubbly letters, the United States of America. And you're connecting not only the letters, but you're making the, let's say you have United, you have the upper part of the U and the bottom part of the U. According to the Ramah, that's fine, because you're not writing anything. You're connecting two things that are already written. The Ramah says that's fine. But what does the second opinion say, the Avnei Nezer? He says that you're making a letter. And it's going to be usur. to put that puzzle together. According to the Ramah that we were dealing with the first part of this year, there's nothing wrong with connecting letters that are already written. Therefore, you can make all the puzzles you want. You could disconnect any jigsaw puzzle you want. According to this new opinion, the Avnei Nezer, you're not even allowed to connect things together or disconnect letters one from another, even or parts of letters, and you will not be able to put a jigsaw puzzle together or dismantle a jigsaw puzzle on Shabbos, according to the Avnei Nezer. Yeah. Excellent question. You're asking, the Avnei Nezer definitely says you're not allowed to disconnect one part of a letter from another part of a letter. Would he also prohibit separating one letter from another letter? I think your distinction is correct. He would only prohibit dismantling a letter itself, separating or putting together. Right. There's a U on one piece, an N on the next piece, an I on another piece, a T united, each letter on a different letter. I think the Avnei Nezer would agree that that would be permitted to both put together and take apart. And the Ramah, but, if the letters were crisscrossed, you know, went over the borders of the letter, of the pieces of the puzzle, that would be us, according to Avnei Nezer. The Ramah would say everything's good.
An alphabet puzzle,
each letter on its own puzzle piece would be mutter, according to everybody. Right. Let's just mention another application. You know, sometimes people are opening packages on Shabbos, or they're opening some kind of wrappers on candies, and you always say, oh my gosh, be careful, don't rip the letters. Let's think. What happens when you rip a letter in half? When you rip a word in half? According to the Ramah, is there any ink that's gone? You just separated between two parts of a word or two parts of a letter. According to the Ramah, that's totally mutar lechatchila. According to the second opinion, according to the Avnei Nezer, you're not allowed to rip letters, because even though they're all there, it's just over here and over there. You separated between what used to be a whole letter, now it's a half a letter up here and a half a letter down there. And therefore, all these applications are going to come up to be a machlokas between the Ramah on one hand, who's Mekel, and the Avnei Nezer, who's Machmir, on the other hand. Now, what do we do when we have a machlokas, the Ramah? It's not just Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was only lived 100 years ago. So he's relatively recent as far as halacha goes. And it might not, you know, what if somebody from 100 years ago argue on the Ramah, that's a little hard. Could happen, but it's actually the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham lived in the 1600s, if I'm not mistaken. He was very early. I think the Magen Avraham lived in the 1600s, just 100 years or so. 150, 200 years after the Ramah. So he also argues on the Ramah. The Magen Avraham also holds like the Avnei Nezer and says, no, you can't disconnect, break apart letters. You can't open or close a book from the library that has the letters on the side. So how do we paskin? So, fortunately, the Mishnah Brura is aware of this gigantic machlokas. And the Mishnah Brura says that his feeling is that the majority of the Achronim assume, like the Ramah, that it is mutter to disattach letters one from another. And therefore, the Ramah says, Mikor Hadin, a person is permitted to open and close a book, and if we apply his logic, it should be permitted to put together a jigsaw puzzle. There will be one other fact that we'll have to see later. But at least in terms of the letters coming together, it should be permitted to cut a cake however I want. It should be permitted to rip open a package, regardless of if I rip the letters in half or not. That's what should be. But, concludes the Mishnah Brura, Mikom Makom, listen carefully to the words, because I want to know how you understand these words. I wasn't sure. Mikom Makom, Nachon Lahachmir, Kishyesh Lo Sefer Acher. If you have another book, so why use this one that says Mendel Gottesman Library on the edges of the page? If you could just take another book that doesn't have the words on the page. That's what the Mishnah Brura paskins halacha l'maaseh. So that's the question. What does he mean? Does he mean if you have a chumash that has the writing on the edge, and you have a chumash without the writing on the edge, so take the one, of course, take the one without the writing on the edge. So I went to Rav Shechter this afternoon, after I finished working on this shir, as I walked out of the Beis Medrash, and I asked Rav Shechter, what does this Mishnah Brura mean? Does it mean only if you have two chumashim and one has writing and one doesn't have writing, so take the one without writing? Or does it mean if I, like, say I want to do Shtayim Mikra, so I need a Chumash. But the Chumashim all have the stamp on the side, because this shul, you know, it's the Ramah shul, right? You go to Krakow, you go to the Ramah shul, and all of the shul, all of the Chumashim, the Ramah shul, they don't want anyone to steal it. They all have a stamp on the side that says, property of the Ramah shul, do not take out of this base of marriage, because if you do, people will think you're Mechal Shabbos. In my shul, then no one thinks you're Mechal Shabbos, because it's Mutter. But, so I want to do Shtayim Mikra. Do I now have to open up a Mishnah Berurah because that's the only sefer I have that doesn't have a writing on it? That's what Reyes Rosh after. He said, no. It just means if you want to do something else, of course you could do something else. It just means if you have two svarim that are the same, or it doesn't really make a difference to you which one you're learning, like, you just want to learn like it's Pesach. So you could learn Hilchos Pesach, but you don't really need to learn Hilchos Pesach. You could equally learn, you know, Hilchos Yantif. Hilchos Yantif, well, that's also the same Chaylak. Anyway, you want to learn whatever it is that's not so fixed on what you have to learn right now. So then you should, it's better to take the book that doesn't have the writing on it. So let's say, for example, it happens to be you have a history final on Tuesday. So you're all of a sudden fascinated by the history of whatever period, and you want to read it on Shabbos for your utter fascination. It happens to be the final one on Tuesday, but we won't go into that. And the history book has writing on the side. Biology is not for another 3 weeks from now. So, does that mean you have to study biology today? Again, not getting into hachana issues. So there, Rosh Hashanah will say, no, you don't have to study biology just because it's the one without the writing. You could study history even though it has the writing because you don't have any other. If you need to run or study, read the history book, now that's what you have. If it's just two novels, and you can read this novel or that novel, read the one that doesn't have the writing on the side. But if it's some that you need, this one versus that one, then take, you are permitted. That's how Rosh Hashanah understands. Of course, the Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, the Shaar HaTzion, does point out that if you have your own sefer, you have, like, I remember when we had Gemaras in high school, a lot of people, you know, everyone in the yeshiva learns the same Masechta, right? Let's say we're learning Masechta Megillah, so you have a high school with 300 students, all 300 students have a Masechta Megillah. Even if you have different brands, different publishers, how many, okay, there are four or five different publishers, so you still have 100 of each. And in a classroom you have 25, 30, they might all look the same. So what we used to do is we used to write on those letters, exactly the case of the Ramah, you know, Uri, or whatever else, you write your name or a picture or whatever else it is. So the Shaar HaTzion on the bottom of the Mishnah says, L'chatchila bevadei tov yoser, it's better to avoid this machlokis, avoid those people who, you know, there is the Magen Avraham and the Avnei Nezer who say it's a problem, and it's better not to make signs on, you know, if you open up a library, if Bezat Hashem, you shall become gigantic millionaires, and give lots of money to open up libraries and Batei Medrash. In your base Medrash, make sure you don't have the writing over there. That's l'chatchil. But if it happens, you're in a situation, you are permitted to take the sefer that you need. Yes. Yes, that Rosh Hashanah did point out that l'chatchil, if there is a book that you want to read that has this, that has the writing, if you stick a piece of paper in it such that the letters are already cut before Shabbos, you're good to go. Yeah. Well, once you opened it, you might as well. I'm sorry? Yeah, you're still saving yourself the next time that you're going to be opening and closing it. Yes, that would be wise. Ideally, if you know you're going to be reading this book on Shabbos, you know you want to do Shtayim Mikra with a sefer, with a chumash from the Mendel Gassman Library. So it would be ideal to stick a piece of paper before Shabbos. If you didn't, and you're going to be using the paper later, so, or even if you're using the paper now, let's say you're just going to learn Chumash right now. So right now the book is open because you were learning Chumash. So it's better to put a piece of paper there so that you don't cause the letters to come together. Right, make sure, in terms of Hilchas Muktzah, if it's a clean sheet of paper that you normally would keep careful, some people say you should, that might be Muktzah because it's, doesn't really have a use. A piece of paper that has writing on it. An old Xerox of something that you don't need anymore. Yeah. No. You're asking if putting a piece of paper would be permanent erasing. It is not permanent erasing. Should I prove it to you? Because if you take the paper out, the letters are still there. That's why it's not erasing. Excellent question. So the Svarim point out that when I say Svarim, that means a sefer that I like to use, that I use a lot today, called Orchos Shabbos. Orchos Shabbos is a very contemporary sefer. He points out that if you look, not at the newer Svarim, but the old Svarim, like, well, not so old, like 30, 40 years ago, on the bindings, they all had like blue and red, just mishmash, like Rorschach tests. Any psychologists here? Right, so everyone sees what they want to see in those blotches. You're a psychologist, right? Yeah. Okay, what? So those Rorschach tests on the sides are totally fine. Those are meaningless designs. There's no issue whatsoever. L'chatchila mutu gamar to open, close however you want. If there's a design, if there's a real picture, meaning if when I, in high school, wanted to not write my name, but draw a picture of a fire truck, that would equally be the same as taking apart the letters U-R-I, my name. It would equally be problematic to take apart the picture of the fire truck, because we learned that the Rambam told us earlier that writing, drawing pictures and figures is the same as drawing and writing letters. Yes, Rina. If you could avoid it, then you should avoid it. You're saying if you can't avoid it, are you able... If there's something that you want inside here, right? You want a... give me an example of a food that has a wrapper that's really hard to open. A Splenda packet, 100%. Equal, Splenda, all the sugar little packets. Those are very hard to open if you're not going to rip something. So according to what we said from Rav Shachter's understanding of the Mishnah Berurah, who's passing Mikra Hadin like the Ramah, if I need a Splenda or a sugar, it's not like I could just, okay, 12, you know how much, 1 gram of, 5 grams of sugar has 25 calories. Come on, give me a break. But let's say it's either sugar or a Splenda. You need one of them. You can't drink your coffee, you know, straight black. So you're saying if you're going to do it, you have to do it anyway, so then you should probably mutter if you need to. That's what comes out. Let's hold that halacha l'maisa, if that's what comes out from what we just said, presumably, yeah. That's a great question. You're asking, maybe we should be more makel by a sefer, because on any given page there's just a tiny bit of ink. As opposed to on a Splenda packet, it should be more usser because it's like all the writing is on one surface. Right. I didn't see anybody make that distinction between the different... I didn't see anyone make the distinction of the fact, oh my gosh, here by a book, everything's written on a different page. They just talk about separating and disconnecting letters and connecting letters. No one made that distinction you're suggesting.
Like, is it any
magnetic letters we'll talk about next week. There's nothing wrong whatsoever to this. Moshe Feinstein says explicitly, there's nothing wrong. If you just take like a bananagrams, right? Or Scrabble letters, just putting the letters together. If we're not talking about, they're not on a magnetic board, they're not tacked into any wall. You're just lining up letters next to each other to form words. Let's say my little kids are at the age where they're learning how to spell. So if we want to just take some letters from bananagrams or from a Scrabble set, just line them up next to each other and spell words, nothing wrong with that. What? Once things are attached, that will be more of a problem. I'm not following. What? Tell me the two cases. What are the two cases? Either
the edge of a book.
The edge of a book.
To, as compared to a wrapper, to me sounds similar to like the Scrabble pieces as compared to letters.
No, because by the Scrabble pieces are all letters already, and the edge of the book they're not. There are different parts of the letter. There are different parts of the same letter. So, if you would take a whole letter from a Scrabble and put it next to another letter, you did not No one will have a problem with that, because you didn't make a letter, you didn't connect two parts of a letter. As opposed to with the side of a book, where the Avnei Nezer said you're disconnecting the parts of one letter. Okay. Let's do one more application to this. Fascinating question. Look at our parochas. Our parochas and our shul is one big piece, right? Baruch Hashem. Well, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the following. There was a shul that had a parochas that was cut in two. And, you know, you pull the string and the two strings magically separate. You pull the string the other way, the two strings magically come together. And the pasuk that was written on the parochas, in the middle of an ayin, there's an ayin, half the ayin was on the right side of the fabric, half the ayin was on the left side of the fabric. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, you was asked, are you allowed to open up the Aron Kodesh in this shul? Doesn't this sound like our story? This is the Shaul Moshe Feinstein was asked in Aruch Chaim Chelek Dalet, Simon Mem. And he says, maybe we should be concerned for that Magen Avraham, that you have, you know, two separate parts of a letter. It's like, what's the difference between opening up the book and separating the top of the M from the bottom of the M of Mendel Gottesman Library? Or opening up a parochas and separating the right side of the ayin to the left side of the ayin and putting them back together again? And therefore, Moshe says the same concern perhaps should potentially be a problem. But he says, no, since they're not written on anything, there's no connection whatsoever between the letters. You see, a book, even though the edges of the page are separated, they're still bound together as part of the book. Here, the right curtain is completely independent. It's at one piece of fabric and a second piece of fabric. The two pieces of fabric are not attached to each other. They're not two parts of the same. They're two separate pieces of fabric. There, Rav Moshe says, there's nothing to worry about at all. They're just two different things. And therefore, it shouldn't be a problem. But he says, maybe you should, just to be machmir, right before Shabbos, open the parochas a tiny bit so you don't have this problem. And then he says the most wild thing that I ever heard. And you know what he says in the next paragraph? And please don't tell this to your rabbi at home. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, again, if you don't believe me, because I didn't believe myself, Aruch Chaim, Chelek Dal, that's the fourth volume of Igros Moshe on Aruch Chaim, Simon Mem, note Chaf Beis, he says that it's not proper to make a parochas with two parts. Because Minag Yisrael is not like that. Minag Yisrael is to make a parochas with one big parochas that opens and closes. And to make a parochas that has two halves that come together and go separated and come back together, that's not a minhag, you're not supposed to do that. I know some very wonderful shuls. In fact, I even learned in a yeshiva where I think that's the case. I think in our yeshiva we have that. It seems not to be like this Rav Moshe Feinstein. Let's finish off with one other halacha lemaisa, very significant halacha lemaisa. Let's say you have a book. You have a sitter. And in the sitter, there's a page that's ripped. So you put the page together. As you get up to it, all usually happens in the page that everyone says, like Shema, first two pages of Shemona Esrei. Those are usually the ripped pages. All the pages that you spend more time on. So if you have that page, it's again sitting in, like, it's you put it into the binding, so it's like there, and then you open up your sitter. It's about to fall out. You put it back. You put it on the right place to sort of align the two sides of the page, the ripped piece off, the piece that's ripped off, together with whatever was, you know, still connected to the binding. Are you allowed to align the ripped piece with the part segment of your sitter that you do have? So let's just think for a second. If you're going to put it together and leave space between them, you're not connecting anything, that's fine. If we're talking about, are you allowed to just, you know, let's say it's sort of held together on top and only the bottom of the page is ripped? But it's still attached on top, it's not fully ripped yet. So when you close your sefer, automatically they sort of come together. That we're not worried about, because what we're worried about, that you did kosev when? When the book is closed? The whole point of kosev is what? To make letters so people could read. The only way you're making this letter is when you're closing the book, we're not really worried about it. However, if you're really just going to take the letters and put them next to each other, so this is going to be, the letters are cut in half, you're going to connect them. So according to the Ramah, that would be fine. According to the Avnei Nezer and the Tzad to be Machmir, it should be avoided. And that's what the halacha should come out. Ramosha Feinstein says, and we're going to finish with this, Ramosha Feinstein says, you know what, most of the time when you have a page that's ripped, you could usually, you know those borders that are on the seam, literally on the seam, on the rift? Those letters, you could usually tell what they are. If you don't, again, the whole word and the words that are cut off, that I don't know. But the letter itself that's on the seam, usually those letters, I know what they are. And therefore, by you attaching the other side, you're not really helping me at all. I already sort of see most of the letter. And since that's true most of the time, we're not worried about whatever once in a while you'll have on 20 lines on the page, maybe one of those lines, I couldn't have made out the letter because it's sliced so much in half that I really needed the other half of the page to tell which letter it is. Most of the time that's not the case. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein says, if you have a sitter, it is going to be okay, yes, it's mutter, to put the piece of paper together so that you can connect the two sides of the sheet so you can see the so that you can see the letters as they appear. Be'ezus Hashem, next week we'll continue to talk about halacha l'maisa puzzles and other kinds of matching games, and we will talk about Scrabble, and then we'll get to more details about cutting cakes. Be'ezus Hashem.